Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 27 through 30. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessings. The trees will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and I rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear scorn of the nations. They will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that the Israelites are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. Life has seasons, doesn't it? Seasons are a constantly changing thing, and we go from one to the other, and we just keep going. We go from, and by the way, I was told this morning that I messed this up because we don't teach it this way in school, but we're going to teach it this way now. We go from winter, till we go to spring, till we go to summer, till we go to fall, and then you know what happens right after that? We go back to winter. It just goes in a never-ending cycle, and that's sometimes how our spiritual life works. Spiritual life, we also have these spiritual seasons, and the spiritual seasons cause us to change. Hopefully, as you look at your spiritual life, you don't look the same as you did years ago or even months ago, maybe not even days ago. We have the two little ones here today, and you probably can already take the pictures out. They were just a few weeks old, and you hold them next to the babies that you're holding now, and guess what? They've changed. Seasons are moving. And as the season's moving, well, guess what? The big thing that we see in our area is we have the example of the tree. And we've been following this tree through the seasons, trying to figure out how this tree goes about growing and changing as it moves from season to season. And we did start in winter, and now you're going to figure out today why I started in winter. But we did start in winter, and in that season, the tree was barren and lifeless, and you thought there was nothing for it, but all of the growth was happening right there below the ground. The roots were stretching out. Then we moved on and we went to, last week we talked about spring and that season of obvious growth when the blossoms are out there and the pollen is falling, and those of us that have allergies kind of hate that season, although the one that's coming up is my season of hate. I don't like fall. I've already got the cough drops out. I've already got the cup of water out. I'm all ready to go for fall because it's just how it works. You can hear it in my voice. Fall is on the horizon. But in spring, it's all about the new growth. It's all about the things that are happening. But this new growth, the spring, it won't last forever. In fact, there's another season coming.
Summer? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know why, but I've always loved the idea of summer and sun and all things hot.
Really? I'm guessing you don't have much experience with heat.
Nope. But sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine what it'd be like when summer does come. Bees will buzz, kids will blow dandelion fuzz, and I'll be doing whatever snow does in summer. A drink in my hand, my snow up against the burning sand, probably getting gorgeously tanned in summer. Finally see a summer breeze blow away a winter storm and find out what happens to solid water when it gets warm. And I can't wait to see what my buddies all think of me. Just imagine how much cooler I'll be in summer. The hot and the cold are both so intense. Put them together, it just makes sense. Winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put me in summer and I'll be a happy snowman. When life gets rough, I like to hold on to my dream of relaxing in the summer sun, just letting off steam. Oh, the sky will be blue, and you guys will be there too. When I finally do what frozen things do in summer.
I'm gonna tell him.
Don't you dare.
In summer.
had to see that coming, right? You give a preacher that loves movie carte blanche, and that just makes too much sense. That was the easiest clip in the universe to pick out, because we are going to enter the season of summer. And by the way, just so you know, so I do actually look at a calendar every now and then. Guess what today is? The last Sunday of summer. Now you understand why I put them in the order I did. This is the last Sunday of summer, and you know what? Olaf wants to experience summer. And of course, we find that funny because, you know, we think of summer, and what do we think of? We think of sunny beaches, right? That's what we begin to think about. We think of leisurely days where the sun is up until 9 o'clock, and, you know, the kids, you can kick them out the house and make them go play, and it's just, you can go, it's summer. It's fun in the sun. We go up to the mountains and down to the beaches, and we're in and out, and it's just all fun, fun, fun. We have all of these things that we want to accomplish in summer. But of course, Olaf being in summer, we chuckle at the video because we know what happens to snow in the summer, right? It melts. He won't be having very much fun very long, because as soon as one of those dog days of summer hits, Olaf will be a puddle. Because that's what frozen things do in summer. Because the season of summer, well, it's really all about the heat being turned up. I mean, sure, we're sitting now at the end of summer, and we're going to head into fall. And by the time we get to February, we'll all be talking about how we can't wait for the warmer days of summer, when I don't have to have a coat and I can wear my shorts. Nobody else likes me to wear my shorts, but I like to wear my shorts, and I can be all comfortable, and I don't have to worry about doing this, and I don't have to worry about that. And we all think about summer until we get to about August. And all of a sudden, we don't like summer very much, because they call those the dog days of summer, and that's when it's usually the heat indexes around here reach over 100 degrees, and you go from your car, I mean from your house to your car, and you feel like you need to run back inside and take a shower real quick because you just work up a sweat with everything you do, because summer is all about the heat. That's just what it's about. The heat continues to go up in summer, and well, how do those trees react to this? Well, the good news is the trees don't die during summer. As a matter of fact, these trees are very adapted to living in the summer, because when you look at trees in the summer, and if you go out and look at them right now, because we have had plenty of rain this summer, they have these lush green leaves covering them. And we look out there and we see them, but you need to remember the leaves on a tree indicate that the tree is healthy. We begin to look at trees, and when we start heading into those summer months, and you look up there and you start seeing trees at the top where there are no branches, what do you start thinking about that tree? Well, a tree with no leaves, we assume, is either dying or dead. This is the reason winter is so depressing to us, because none of the trees have leaves, and so you really can't tell what's living and what's dying, but it is quite obvious when you get to the summer season exactly what is alive and what is not. You see, these leaves, the tree didn't grow them during the summer. They grew them during the spring, but they are valuable for surviving both summer and winter. Now, we'll talk about how the leaves help in winter. We'll talk about that in fall. Go ahead and get your brain wrapped around that. We're going to talk about leaves from the summer protecting us in the autumn, but in the winter, we're going to talk about it in the fall. But for the summer season, these leaves are very valuable, because these leaves, they are collectors and protectors. And here's what I mean by that. The next time we're about to have one of those summer thunder boomers, and you know what they're like, you're sitting out here and the leaves start to wave and the wind is coming up. I want you to go out, see, fall is coming, there's the cough. So I want you to go out, and I want you to, not when it's lightning, by the way, let's not do this during the lightning, but as the storm is approaching, go out and look at the leaves on the trees. You know what they're doing? They're starting to curl upward. They're starting to form funnels, because the tree understands it's living in a hot, dry summer, and all of a sudden the rain is about to come, and so it is funneling those leaves upwards. It is turning it upwards, ready to catch the showers of blessings that are about to fall upon it. And those leaves, pay real close attention the next time those days get really hot. The trees look a little different if you pay close attention, and you really do have to pay close attention. But what happens as it gets very hot, the leaves begin to spread open almost like parachutes. You know what they're doing? They're spreading out. They are creating this wonderful thing that we like to call shade. I would have loved to have had some of that yesterday, standing out in the middle of that field, and there was no shade, and since I had the nice little sunburn today. But that performs shade, and we think about shade, you know, sitting underneath the shady tree with a little glass of iced tea or lemonade, but you understand what the tree is doing. The tree is protecting something. It's protecting the baby trees it planted in spring, but it's also protecting its own roots. Go ahead and give it a try. If you're in one of those areas and you're in one of those dry seasons when the leaves have been stretched out, the closer you get to the tree and you dig down a little bit, the soil starts to get wetter the closer you get to the tree, because the tree is protecting its own roots, holding the moisture to it, because the tree understands that if it's going to grow, it's going to have to be really adapt to live in summer. And leaves, they're important. The reason we start looking at these trees and we start saying, well, you know what? That tree doesn't have enough leaves on the top of it. I think it's dying. I think we want to cut it down, because we people, we think, well, you know what? We want to get rid of the tree before the tree gets rid of a car or a gutter or a house or a bike or whatever it falls over, because we understand exactly what is happening. The leaves signal something to the outside world. No leaves, the tree is in trouble. So this tree is all set to design, it's designed to make it through summer. But specifically, how is the tree growing? I mean, it didn't grow the leaves during the summer. Could you imagine how silly that would be? You start in the beginning of summer and the tree's like, oh, wait a minute, I forgot, I need leaves. No, it's another lesson we can take from the tree. Not only is it growing during the season, it's also preparing for the next. So it's got its leaves out there, and it grew those during the spring. So what exactly is growing during the summer months? The branches. I mean, I want you to think about what it is. The leaves are collecting the water, and it's getting ready to funnel it down. But when it collects the water to get it down to the trunk, what's the pipeline? The branches. And so when those summer months begin to blow and those winds are coming and the rains are on their way, what is it that lifts the leaves up to catch the water? The branches. And so as the tree is beginning to stretch those branches to catch the water, as it is stretching it out to protect its roots, as it is lifting those leaves up, every time it's kind of like doing tree jumping jacks. It's stretching out and the branches are getting longer and longer, and fatter, so they can support more and more leaves, so that the tree can continue to grow. You see, here's what we know about branches. Now, I'm no farmer. We have figured this out. I have a hard time growing weeds in my yard, okay? Really, seriously. But actually, no, we've gotten quite good at weeds. Nothing else grows in our yard. So, but we know this for a fact. Good branches have leaves. Makes sense. We also know that those branches provide water to the trunk. That is the main purpose of a branch. Hold the leaves, collect the water, get it to the trunk. That's what's supposed to happen. So during the really dry spells, here's the other thing that those branches do. The trunk sees the branches having trouble, and this machine that God built that we call a tree knows, you know what, things are getting a little dry, so it will actually send water back up the branches. And so they're like big fat straws that just go back and forth with this water supply to keep the tree growing. But here's the thing. A branch with no leaves provides nothing to the tree. So guess what? The tree will shut it off. That's the reason we see things turning brown. You see, eventually the branch dries up, and in one of those big thunder boomers where we're watching the leaves curl up, those sticks, those things, those branches that have no leaves, eventually the tree just gets rid of it. It's cut off its water supply, and we watch the leaves wither and die on it. Have you ever had one of those trees? You're looking up at it, and it's all nice and green, and there's like one branch in the middle that has those brown leaves on it. It's because that branch has died, and it's providing nothing to the tree. And, well, as mean as this sounds, The tree absolutely, positively, has no time to feed dead wood. So the tree makes the decision, I'm going to siphon off the water from the branch, I'm going to allow it to wither, I'm going to allow it to die, and I'm going to allow it to break off. And that sounds kind of sad. I mean, I feel sorry for the branch. But the tree lives in a very real world, either produce or be cut off. And you know, part of me says, sure, I'm glad I don't live in that world. Except for this one teeny tiny problem. Jesus had the same belief. If you have your copy of God's Word, I'm pretty sure I got the scripture right this week. I had the wrong reference up there last week, and I got told about it. And I have to tell you something. I had one of those weeks, and I forgot to look it up. I'll try to get it looked up this week. But I do have the right reference this week. I know we are in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. So if you have your copy of God's Word, you can make your way there, because we're going to look at this verse. And you know what? This is the spiritual summer of our life, and I want us to pay really close attention. I, this is Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, excuse me, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Now, this is one of those stories that we hear, but we hate to listen to. Some people call it a parable. I do not call this a parable, because a parable is a heavenly story that has an earthly meaning on it. There's a hidden meaning to it, and I want to tell you something. Jesus ain't hiding nothing here. I look at this story, and there is no deeper, darker meaning behind it. There is no under-the-cover meaning. Jesus is point-blank explaining something that is very important for every one of us to remember during our spiritual season of summer. He has given us an object lesson. He's telling us to go out and look at the tree and remember these things. Jesus is the vine. And if you want to apply this to this tree, we'll just call him the trunk for today. The trunk will have a different meaning next week. But for today, he is the center focal point of the tree. Don't miss that. I'm not the focal point. The church is not the focal point. What I desire is not the focal point. God, Jesus, he is the focal point of the tree. Now, logic says all the branches have to connect to the trunk. That is a given. You cannot have something to say it's part of the tree and have no connection to Christ. It doesn't work. As a matter of fact, any stick not connected to the tree cannot consider themselves a branch. So if you just happen to be a stick that fell out of another tree and you got caught in the branches of this tree, then you know what? That doesn't make you a branch. That makes you a stick. Okay? Because a branch has a genuine connection to the trunk of the tree. Now, that sounds harsh and narrow-minded, but that is the way it works, does it not? Do you not go out in those months of summer after we've had one of those thunderstorms and you see the sticks up in the branches that got blown through and they're just kind of hanging on, but they have no connection? Do you count them part of the tree? No. Why? Because it's not connected to the tree. It's just the way it works. It's not connected to the trunk. So we need to understand this fact. If you are a true branch, there is a true connection to the tree. Now, to the trunk. Now, remember, who's the trunk? Jesus. So it's not you have a connection to the church. It's not you have a connection to somebody in the church. It's not that your great-great-grandma sometime or another made some kind of statement way, way, way back and you have a connection through your family. You have to have an honest-to-goodness connection to the trunk, and that is Jesus. You don't get a secondary connection and get to say, part of the tree. That's not the way it works. Now, when we begin to look at this, there is an expectation for us branches. If you have a connection to Christ, there is the expectation that, guess what? You will bear fruit. Now, look at that statement for a second. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. So no fruit, God has no time. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound very loving. Actually, it's very loving. Because what is God interested in? The tree. He's not interested in the tree having a bunch of branches that aren't willing to produce anything, because just like the tree has no time for dead wood, God has no time for the idea that I'm going to sit here and do nothing for the kingdom, but I'm going to just keep on hanging on. As a matter of fact, while every branch that does not bear fruit, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So God begins to look at this tree, and God himself, understand, this isn't the preacher, this isn't my job, this isn't the elder's job, this isn't the worship leader's job, this is nobody's job but God. God begins to look at your life, and he either does one or two things. He looks at your life, and he says, dead. What's his indicator? Well, there's no fruit. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then he looks at the life and he says, you know what? This life is doing something for me. This life is growing. So he just lets that alone. No, he doesn't. He does the same thing we do with our gardens and our trees and our rose bushes. For those of you who actually have green thumbs, you go out there and you take a snip here and a cut there. It's one of the most horrifying experiences I've ever had in my entire life. I know I've shared this story before, but we had a butterfly bush that we planted in the first house that we lived in, and we planted that butterfly bush, and it was all pretty and all bright and all this kind of good thing, and it was all there, and we were all happy because we actually got something to grow, and it had buds on it. And then we got to the late summer season, and it turned all brown, and we went into fall, and my mom pulled up in my driveway and said, you need to cut that bush down. I'm like, it grew. She's like, if you don't cut it down, next summer, it dies. Trust me on this. I know how to grow. So I went out there, and I'm like, okay. And I cut, but guess what? It came back. But if I'd allowed it to sit there all winter long with that dead wood, then it would have died. And so this is the principle that God is saying, is that, guess what? I care about these branches. And I am going to constantly be walking through your life deciding whether or not you're connected to the tree or you're not. And either you are is or you are ain't. You notice there is no in the middle. And those that ain't, God says, I got to do something about it. Now, this expectation, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I like that word, will. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say sometimes. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us another object lesson in Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 19. We find a little story where it just seems that we don't make any sense of this until we put it back with this story. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing fig leaves by the road, he went up and found nothing except for leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the tree withered. So Jesus began to look at this, and he said, you know what? Trees are supposed to have more than leaves. They're supposed to have fruit. You see, if you do not remain in me, you're like the branch that is thrown away in the fire. You see, this idea of fruit becomes very important because God said, now keep in mind, Jesus' parable, I did not write Jesus' story. I did not write this. This was written 2,000 years before Barry was ever on this planet. So I did not pen this, but God's word says, you know what? If you don't remain in me, and I in you, and we don't keep this connection going, if you don't finish the race, then guess what? You're like one of them branches that really had no genuine connection whatsoever. And again, I have a hard time with that because I'm thinking, I got to go all the way to the end. Yeah, you have to finish the race. He didn't say I had to be in first place when I crossed the finish line. But he said, you know what? You have a responsibility, an expectation that you will finish the race and you will bear fruit all the way through your life. And so now we have to ask the question, what is fruit. And why is this so important to me? Because I, Barry, want to make sure that my life is connected to Christ. And Christ tells me the only way that I can truly know if I am connected is to inspect my branches and see, is there any fruit? Now, to do that, I have to define the word fruit. Now, remember that story I just read to you where Jesus saw that little fig tree and what was on that fig tree? Leaves. He looked at it and he said, there is a healthy tree. There is a healthy fig tree. I see leaves. Therefore, it should have fruit. And from that story, we can get this conclusion. Leaves, those things that we use to feed the tree, are a sign of life, but they are not fruit. My grandfather was an orchardman. I think that's what you call them. They owned apple orchards up in the Nelson County area. As a matter of fact, my mom and dad met at an apple packing shed. Another story for another day. But anyway, they owned apple orchards. And one of the things is that he would not cut down the trees. He would not start cutting down the apple trees when the leaves started dying. You know when he cut them down? They went two seasons with no fruit. He chopped the tree down. Because at that point, he said, all that's going to happen is it stopped producing fruit. And even though it's still living, understand it's in a season. It's in its last days. And so he chopped it down and he planted a baby tree. So we need to understand leaves and fruit are not the same thing. Now, let me tell you how that translates to us. Coming to church is a great leaf action. Inviting somebody to church, that's a fruit action. Reading your Bible is a great leaf action. Sharing what you learned from your Bible with somebody else is a fruit action. Do you see the subtle difference? You see, the leaves are about me. The leaves are what keeps me alive. Fruit on a tree does not equal, fruit on the tree does not necessarily equal a new tree, but by definition, fruit on a tree is that which has the capability of producing a new tree. Wrap your brain around that for a second. That's a big statement. So when I see a leaf, that means that the tree is living. That means maybe it's growing and it's not mature enough yet to produce fruit. Or it could be that it is really stopping growing and is no longer willing to produce fruit. I don't care which one it is. But when I see a leaf, that cannot produce a new tree. There is no tree out there that produces life that way. Sometimes it would be nice, but it doesn't work that way. They have something else on their trunks that produces life. If you're a maple tree, you have those little fun spinny propeller things. You have if you're an oak tree, I like the fun spinny propeller things. If you're a maple tree, you have the little acorns that drop. If you're an orange, you have an orange. If you're an orange tree, you have an orange on there. And if you cut the orange open, what's inside the orange? Seeds. Apple trees work that way. Banana trees work that way. Pineapple trees work that way. Everybody works that way in the fact that the leaves and the fruit are not the same thing. And we need to wrap our brain around that because a lot of times we take leaves and say, see, I got all the pretty leaves. How's your fruit? How are you doing at doing the things that will produce new Christians? Well, you know, I'm just really not into that. Really? Really? You're not into reproducing new trees? Well, I didn't write this. Jesus wrote this 2,000 years ago, not me. He says, I'm not looking for leaves. I'm looking for fruit. And since Jesus wrote this, I want to point out, he makes it very clear. Inward-focused branches are just trying to stay alive will not. Those branches that are just trying to hug the tree and cling the tree, just hoping above hope that Jesus comes back before something terrible happens to them. Jesus makes it very clear, you don't survive that way. Just like farmers prune trees and we prune vines, Jesus says, I will prune the tree and I will cut branches off. I don't know that I like this story. But you know what? God didn't ask me if I liked it. He wants us to understand the spiritual season of summer. Now, immediately I want to shout out, well, what about the spiritual fruit? You know, those things we see in Galatians chapter 5. If I have those, doesn't that mean that I'm producing fruit? Well, go read the list again. Every single one of those things are something that you do to somebody else. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, you love somebody else. Fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Well, you have to show kindness to somebody else. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Well, that you have to show So you understand, even in that model, Jesus is saying it isn't about what you're doing for your life. Fruit is about what you're doing to produce life in somebody else. And if you're not doing anything in that area, I'm not supposed to examine your tree because I got my own tree to worry about. But Jesus is making it very clear. Take a look at your life. Are you sure you're connected to the trunk? Are you sure that connection is genuine? And something is there that is doing exactly what it needs to be? Because this idea, on a positive note, if you are bearing fruit, God's going to continue to do the things that needs to be done to make sure you continue to bear fruit. This relationship is going to continue back and forth between you and God. He's going to come through and he's going to prune. And then the trunk's going to feed you water during the dry season. And you're going to have this symbiotic relationship. That's a fun word to say, symbiotic. You're going to have this symbiotic relationship where the tree is feeding you and you're feeding the tree. And it all works well, but it is not a one-time expectation. You don't get to say, well, you know, way back 50 years ago, I invited somebody to church. Okay, that's nice. If you had a tree that produced fruit once every 50 years, how would you do? That wouldn't be a very good garden. I'd be looking for tomatoes from somebody else next season because you wouldn't have no tomatoes. You see, the season of summer, those hot and dry times that help us to see where are we really in this spiritual life. When things get hot and things get turned up and we think we're going to crumple under the pressure, that is the time that we want to go out and look at the trees. Do you see any fruit? If you do, even though it's hot and even though maybe it's not bearing as much fruit as it did before because seasons are different, understand, do you see any fruit? Well, if you do, then what do we say about the tree? It's good. But if we constantly go out there year after year after year and we see no fruit whatsoever, what do we say about the tree? Jesus makes that same comparison to our Christian life. The heat gets turned up a little bit in summer because God wants us to do some self-examination of each and every one of our lives. Are you bearing fruit for his kingdom? Or are you just trying to wave your branches with your leaves on it saying, look at me, all is good. Don't expect here. I'm telling you, it's all good. I want you to think about today, is your connection to the tree real? Or are you connected to the tree through some other means that you think is a genuine connection, but really it's not real? We're connected to something else, and we assume because we're connected to that something else, that makes me part of the tree. Begin to think about that, and as you think about this, let me encourage you. Make the connection real. Make the connection to Christ in your life real enough to where you have a relationship with him, where he feeds you, and you bear fruit for him. Now, I don't know where that puts you in your life. Maybe you're here today, and you've never accepted Christ. We're going to do a time of decision, and if that's what you need to do, come on forward. We'll put you with somebody to help you understand what it means to accept Christ. Maybe you're here for a while, and you know what? It's been a while. It's been a while since there's been a piece of fruit on your branches. And all of a sudden now you're realizing, oh my gosh, I never realized the leaves weren't enough. And let me encourage you today to make a commitment to your life to bear much fruit for God. In every season. Would you please stand? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.